This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's Dirt. Want to thank you for taking some time out to listen to the podcast of our show, brought to you by Les Schwab Tires, doing the right thing since 1952.
Broken bat roller. Throw to second and hits the runner. Here comes Madrigal. And they win it. Wow, the White Sox win it 4-3.
This is Dirt and Sprague.
You Patriot Nation, you guys have welcomed me and my family to a region we do not know. We didn't know. But now, I'm one of you. I'm going to leave you guys with two words. Foxborough, forever.
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
Curry driving, Curry flipping it up and in! Into the basket, and now into the record books. The most points ever in Warrior franchise history as Steph Curry surpasses Wilt Chamberlain.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080, The Fan.
All right, 6:02 in the Rose City. Time for Dirt and Sprague on Portland Sports Leader, 1080 The Fan. I am Brandon Sprague. That across the way is Andy Dirt Johnson.
What is happening?
Not a whole lot. I almost broke my hand yesterday.
Well, that's not ideal. Did you punch something in anger?
No,
Did you get frustrated?
No, I had to... The oldest daughter has this huge bunk bed that we bought years ago before we moved.
Mm-hmm.
And it's got like a full-size bed, and then it's got a nice bunk, and then it's got a pull-out trundle thing.
Oh, that's solid.
It was like a three-bed bed.
Great, man.
It was. It was really nice, and it's a really nice quality bed. Anyways, I took that apart last night because we're downsizing stuff. And
sure.
She doesn't want it. That, I almost wanted to punch a hole in the wall because it's those... What do you call those L-shaped screwdrivers that you
Allen
get?
Allen wrenches.
Oh, my God.
You just twist it and
yeah,
twist it.
You'll tear
it
up your knuckles trying to get undo or tighten. Yeah, you can shred knuckles with those.
Allen wrenches. I hate an Allen wrench.
Yes.
I'm not a fan. Sometimes they're smooth and they're easy.
Who's Allen who decided those would be good tools?
I don't know, but he threw a wrench in my night.
Oh, hey, look at you.
Dad
first
joke.
Thing in the morning.
Dad joke.
Fired on all cylinders today. I love it.
No, so yesterday I was working on a house in Beaverton. And I have one of those cool Costco ladders, you know, that they sell for $150 that folds out and goes up. And I took that over and I had to get up to, I'd say, about 15 feet off the ground. Maybe higher. And the ladder didn't quite reach. So I pulled it out, and I was going to extend it up.
Is this like a Clark Griswold situation? You go sliding on down?
Yeah, it got close to that. And it's kind of sketch. I would be the Clark Griswold of this show if I was actually having to do this on a regular basis.
Did you have a flannel on while you were doing it?
No, it's too hot.
Okay, that's true.
And I pulled it out, and I extended up, and I knew it wasn't connected in. And for some reason, I decided to put my left hand in the middle.
Yeah, why not?
And I looked at it and I went, that's not in.
And before I could stop it, it slid and it slammed my hand in between the step below it.
Yikes.
And you and I are golfing after the show.
Yeah,
and I'm like,
we got a tee time this afternoon.
Dude, it's a crater. You can't see it right now because I have a band. It's a crater of skin that just got smacked off. And my first thought was, I'm not going to be able to golf tomorrow.
I got a tee time tomorrow. What's going on here, man?
Listen, how bad is this? Yeah, I need to get this treated. It was, oh, no, I can't golf tomorrow.
Am I going to be able to handle a golf club and squeeze it and putt and all that? So, well, now if you play bad today, you got an excuse at least.
No, that's it actually
feels
great.
You almost snapped your hand in half. Yeah. I'm totally using that. If I double bogeyed the first hole, well, you should have seen the ladder that took my hand out yesterday.
Do you ever play basketball or go running and you tweak your ankle?
Oh, yeah, all the time.
Now, I've done this several times. I've only sprained my ankle one time when I was in fourth grade. I would say there's been about 10 or more times that I've rolled an ankle playing basketball where it's the instant, oh, no.
Uh-oh, that's not good.
And you know what I've discovered about my body? A lot of things. If I walk it off, I can actually subside the pain.
Yeah, you got to keep moving in the moment, yeah, for sure.
And, you know, in the NBA, it's different.
You can't take your shoe off.
No, and yeah, I don't do it. On. So when I roll it, I immediately start kind of jogging up the court and giving a second.
Because you still have that adrenaline going where the pain hasn't kicked in yet.
And luckily, I've pushed the sprained ankle side. That's what it felt like with my hand. It felt like my hand got broken, and I just kept doing the squeezing thing. Like, I kept making a fist and
keep squeezing it, moving it.
And eventually, that pain subsided, too. And I'm like, maybe I just solved how to fix broken hands.
Hey, Cody asked you a good question. Are you moonlighting as a handyman? Did we just learn this here? Are you like, you say you're out working on a house in Beaverton? You're taking down bunk beds? What else? You want to come build something in my house? I got to put a new, like, vegetable garden box in. You want to come build it for me?
No, it's going to sound very douchey. And I understand that when I say this. So we don't make very good money here. Like, full disclosure, we don't. Doing this job is not hard, and they pay you that way.
It'd be about $6 an hour.
And luckily, years ago, the wife and I combined made enough money. We bought a house right before the housing boom in the Northwest area for super cheap. And it's not even a very big house. It's a cool moment for us. Well, needless to say, the boom happens, equity gets built. We've turned it into a rental.
Yeah, you got an empire now.
Well, it's not an empire. It's one
house. 14 rentals. You're buying a vacation home in Sun River.
No, the beach house is going in next summer. Now you're making me sound super.
You probably got heated floors in your bathroom, don't you?
A whole house.
All the hoity-toity things that you could put in a house, I got to say, that's got to be up there for me.
My
heated floors in a bathroom, when you experience that and then you go back to non-heated floors in a bathroom, you wonder, how have I lived in poverty my entire life?
That is a next level of wealth. However, my dad has them. It's a house that he bought from his mother-in-law, who's since passed. She had them installed. And I was like, I remember walking on it, and it was 70 degrees. And I was like, whoa.
This is great.
Your floor is hot. Yeah. And he goes, there's a heater in there. Well, years later, it wasn't hot anymore. And I go, what happened? He goes, oh, we got rid of that.
Really?
They don't use it. It's a stupid amount for your power bill.
Okay, I can see that, but if I have enough money to put in heated floors, I'm feeling like an extra like $60 on my power bill or $70 isn't going to be that big of a deal. And it would only be for the only times I want it: wake up in the morning, walk around in the bathroom, because the tile's always a little chilly in the morning, especially in the winter, to warm your feet up. And then getting out of the shower would be great. You kind of step on your little pad there. You get all dried off, and then you step on the nice, warm, heated floor.
Well, the pad probably gets a little warm, too, right? So it's like a heated pillow onto a heated floor.
Oh, now we're talking. I'm all over it.
I'm with you, but he didn't install it. He just inherited it, and I don't think it was just $60. If it was $60, I think it was like $200.
A little bit more than that.
Extra on the pad. Because you got to think about the surface it's covering.
That's true. That's true. If you got a big bathroom, it could get a little spendy.
And his was a kitchen dining room situation, and his house is probably 1,800 square feet. It's a decent size for him and my stepmom. So the power bill got a bit much.
The ideal thing to do would be able to do like heated little pockets. Like, I don't need an entire room to be heated. I just need the area in front of the vanity or the area in front of the toilet. You know what I mean? Just throw a little square right there, a little 2x4. Boom, there's my heated spot. I'm going to stand right there.
Well, how warm is your house? What's your temperature at?
Oh, we keep it chilly at the Johnson household.
Oh, you're a cheapo.
We're a chilly house, yeah.
Is it because of money?
No, it's not because of money. I just run warm. I don't like having a hot house.
I'm well, what do you classify that as hot? Hold on, Swag. What do you classify as hot?
I mean, we keep it. I rarely even, like, this time of year, I don't even turn heat on. There's no heat on in the house. We're good, man. Natural light coming in. I'm walking around in shorts and a cutoff tee. No Dude, problems at
I,
all.
I, yeah, see, normally I keep it around 66, but my dad's there, and so with some of the medication he's got, his
thinners?
Blood thinners and stuff, he's cold all the time. So
that's a tough combo.
So
wear a blanket, Dad.
Oh, he's got a blanket on. He's got everything on. And so now there's a lot of windows in my condo. So once the sun comes up direct, it's up 74, 75. So at least I got to turn like the ceiling fan on to move the air.
Sure, to get it going.
But I'm in a t-shirt and shorts, you know.
Well, that's a comfortable feeling though, is being in your house in a t-shirt and shorts.
Yes.
And I don't run, I don't run hot, you know, the older, the colder, that's applying to me. I would say our house is right now is on averages a 68 degree temperature.
Okay.
Very comfortable.
Which is a comfortable,
yes.
We'll turn it down as the heat continues to get warmer and warmer. But I also have two polar opposites in my life. I have one brother-in-law who is skinnier than me, so he gets a little colder easier. His house is like a consistent 75.
No way.
Like, that's like a nursing home.
No way.
And
I'm
he'll still
there.
Wear a sweatshirt.
Oh,
what is
no.
wrong with him?
Well, he gets cold easily.
Come on, man. Toughen up. And then I have my other brother-in-law is like you, but probably a more extreme version of that. And his house is 41.
Okay, that's a little chilly. I don't know if I go that far.
Well, I don't want to be in an igloo.
I mean, you need a balance there. But I mean, this time of year, windows are open all day. You got no heat on, just kind of letting the natural air flow through.
Sure.
That's all I need.
Well, it's an underrated thing is to have your window open and let the natural air, you know, kind of wind out your house.
I will say I am very thankful to have married somebody who has a similar temperature that I do.
Because she runs hot.
She runs. The stories of people that I hear that are couples that have opposite temperatures, like the Swag and the Dad story, but then you compile that into sleeping in the same bed, and one person runs hot, so you got to have fans on, you want air open, right, window going, and then the other person's cold, you got to have a heated blanket on. Like, trying to balance that out in the same bed is nearly impossible.
It's not ideal. No, it's not ideal. It's nice to have the, you know, the kumbaya.
You got to have both people on the same page, man.
Body temperature. Your house sounds like it's freezing. Well, I just say that because yesterday when I went to the rental, we don't have anything running. It's freezing in that house, and the gauge says 52.
Yeah, it's not bad, man.
I can't believe you live
it's
like
a
that.
Balmy 52.
There's no such thing.
Throw on a cutoff tee, you're good to go.
52 is freezing.
That's all you need, man.
All right, well, we got a lot to get to today on the old show, the Mail Sack at 8:15.
Mail Sack's coming up.
We've got some NFL stories, including one analytics team naming what was the best NFL offseason move last year.
I saw that. Now, does it only apply to trades, or do free agent signings count?
I think the award specifically said best offseason move.
Okay.
I'll double check before we get to it, but I want to talk about that.
As much as I hate one guy, there was one guy who won a Super Bowl.
Yeah, it's pretty obvious what the best move was, and they didn't name it.
Right.
Damn analytics. We do have, speaking of analytics, and a current NFL coach going against analytics where it's quite clearly in his favor,
sure,
and his answer makes no sense. We have some audio we'll play for you there, a current NFL coach and his views on going for two and what the analytics say versus kind of what he thinks about that. Jacksonville super excited for Trevor Lawrence. They've jumped into the gift-giving business.
I love this story. This one cracked me up.
So we'll get to that. We've got the unfortunate news of Jamal Murray suffering what appears to be a pretty bad knee injury.
Yeah, not ideal for Denver.
And I really felt awful for him. You feel awful for the team. You don't have to be a Nuggets fan to feel awful about that.
No, you don't want to see that. Especially at this time of year, you're getting close to the playoffs, a couple of weeks away. That's brutal.
A-Rod bought the Timberwolves. We forgot to get to that over the weekend.
And he can't move him to Seattle.
I've got a baseball Blazer-related topic.
Okay.
And it's not MLB to Portland, but how am I going to tie Damian Lillard to Jacob DeGrom?
I like it.
So we'll get to that today. We've got a busy show. Daily Ticker as well. The Mail Sack questions can come in at the fan text line at 503-250-1080. If you're new to the show, because this is our week 7, the Mail Sack is a segment where we just BS any and all questions. It doesn't have to be sports related. It can be what's your favorite this, who do you hate the most, what's your favorite sports thing. Doesn't matter what it is. We will answer any and all questions at the Mail Sack at 503-250-1080. 1080. But let's get to the morning crunch And we'll start there. Dirt and Sprague, happy Tuesday on 1080 The Fan.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Pour the milk.
Looks like me and Vincent caught you boys at breakfast. Did you have it?
Part of a nutritious breakfast?
Hamburgers. Hamburgers. The cornerstone of any nutritious breakfast.
It's time for the Morning Crunch. A look at the tastiest topics in sports. Brought to you by Crunch Fitness. As low as $9.95 per month. No hassle, no pressure, no gimmicks, and no judgments.
All right, welcome back in the Morning Crunch, brought to you in the Fan by our good friends, our great friends out at Crunch Fitness. Beaverton Aloha Division in Vancouver, as low as $9.95 a month. Why would you work out anywhere else? For more information, go to crunch.com.
Broken bat roller. Throw to second, and it hits the runner. Here comes Madrigal, and they win it. Wow. Sox win it 4-3.
NBC Sports Chicago, White Sox Television, Nick Madrigal, go Beavs, gets the winning run as Yu Chang hits Yasmani Grandal with a throw, trying to force the runner out at second. Wild throw leads to the game-winning run. White Sox win 4-3.
Better way for a Beav to win a game than Conforto sticking his elbow out over the plate. This one is a little better received than what happened last week. White Sox off to a somewhat slow start, but starting to turn it around. Nice win yesterday over Cleveland to get back to 500.
Yeah, no doubt about it.
And a swing and a miss. He went right back to that fastball 96.
Hey, listen, I wouldn't want to come out either.
Yep. Well, it's been a great night. Tyler Glasnow, and he gets a great hand.
Bally Sports Sun Rays TV on the call there.
That's a tongueful.
Rays win 1-0, and this kind of will tie into our Jacob DeGrom segment. Tyler Glasnow was awesome last night. He struck out 14 batters in 7 2/3 innings, and he gets the win. His ERA now is 0.46.
That's not bad there, Bob. Couple of starts into the year. He's been absolutely dominant. Now, to be fair, Texas sucks this year, and they don't have much of an offense. They just got no hit last week by San Diego. But Glasnow is the real deal. He was last year, and it's one of the reasons I think they felt okay. Outside of pulling Blake Snell in the World Series, they knew they had Glasnow behind him to become the ace of that staff.
Kelnick sends Doc ahead.
Three on two here. Doc takes a look. Kalnuk to the net. Here's a chance for Hagel. He scores! Brandon Hagel. Hawks win. Hawks win. The Hawks on a three on two rush. Get a good pass to Brandon Hagel, who snapped it home. And the Blackhawks win it.
There's NBC Sports Chicago Blackhawks TV as Chicago gets a win over Columbus. They are 20-18 on the year. Much needed victory for them in the playoff chase.
Yeah, picking up a couple of points in OT in Columbus. Look at that. Fighting for playoff positioning. Got to pile up a few more of those. It really feels like, I mean, Carolina, Toronto are both having great years. Vegas is having a great year. But it's the when you get to the Stanley Cup playoffs, anybody can make a run, and Chicago could be dangerous.
It's been the best 12 years of my life. It's a hell of a run. And I can't forget you, Patriot Nation. You guys have welcomed me and my family to a region we do not know. We didn't know. But now, I'm one of you. I'm gonna leave you guys with two words. Foxborough, forever.
Julian Edelman, wide receiver for the Patriots, Tom Brady's boy, fails his physical, announces his retirement. Belichick praises him, says he's one of the best grinders he's ever had. Brady sends out messages, and now we might have to talk about how stupid a narrative it is that people are going to push for Julian Edelman to be an NFL Hall of Fame player.
I think my favorite meme of the day was, you play with Cam Newton for 1 year, that would force me to retire too, the way he throws the football.
Jeez, that's mean.
I also enjoyed so all the jokes. Everybody thought he was immediately going to join Tampa, but he is retiring. And I, you know, somebody pointed out, I don't know who is leading this charge. I have not seen anybody with a rational mind.
It's from the year they beat the Falcons, I think. The Rams.
Sure.
It was that playoff run.
He was great in the playoffs.
He's been great in the playoffs.
No doubt.
But because of the playoff performances. Because
of one damn catch.
One catch in the Super Bowl against Atlanta. I haven't seen anybody, though, like any national writer.
Matt Miller says, I can't wait to see him in Canton.
Oh, God. Yeah, no, he's not a Hall of Fame player, which is dumb because then you spend a day like today instead of saying, what an incredible career to go from a college quarterback to a great NFL wide receiver.
Yeah, you kind of crap on him, don't you?
And then you end up dumping on him, yeah. And it's unfair to him because he had a remarkable NFL career walking away at the age of 34. But no, he's not a Hall of Famer.
This is the Morning Crunch brought to you in the Fan by Crunch Fitness.
Levine, and it's a fourth steal for Kyle Anderson. Three on two if they hurry. Grayson Allen lobs it for Moran, who jackhammers it down. But again, Kyle Anderson, man, that's four steals tonight. His 15th multi-steal game this season.
Partner, he caught that ball outside the backboard. He catches the ball outside the backboard. Still has enough height. Look where he catches that.
There's Bally Sports Southeast. Boy, they've bought every TV property, haven't they?
All over the place.
Ja Morant, one of the filthier alley-oop finishes you'll see in the NBA. And the Grizzlies, look out for the Grizzlies. They've won five straight games. They beat the Bulls by 11 last night, 101-90. They're in the eighth seed, but Dallas lost that game against the 76ers.
They did.
Memphis picked up a game.
Yeah, Valanciunas is having a great year. Morant's a ton of fun to watch. Remember, they had to deal with that COVID pause in the first half of the season, and two of those games came against the Blazers. They were supposed to be in a back-to-back against Portland. Couldn't play for a while. It clearly took them a bit to kind of pull out of that, but now they're starting to play great basketball.
Last six possessions for the Wizards. Tied at 75. Beal on a drive inside, high off the glass, scored over Gobert. I think Gobert was right there. Not a lot. Spread out with a busted up play. So Quinn calls a timeout. Utah down two on their home floor.
Craig Bowler Jack, AT&T Sportsnet. The Washington Wizards going to Utah, where nobody has beaten Utah in quite some time. They were riding a 24-game win streak.
They lost their first two games at home and then won 24 in a row.
And they lost last night to the 20-33 Washington Wizards. Westbrook sealed the deal with a jump shot late, and he had 25, 14, and 14. And at this point, it's funny how it just feels like yesterday that kind of stat line was revered and talked about, and can you believe somebody did that stat line? And now it's just so normal in the NBA.
It totally is. I think playing for a losing team takes away from it just a hair as well, and Washington hasn't been good this year.
Yeah, but even when he was on a winning team doing this after the first year when he won the MVP, we stopped caring. It just wasn't a big deal, and mainly because people think he just He stat hunts.
Sure. I think that was the argument against him. And once you see it, it just the awe of it kind of goes away after you watch it happen for a year. I believe I heard the date was the last time they lost a home game was New Year's Eve. So that, just to put it in perspective, that's how long it's been since they've lost a home game.
So Curry driving, Curry flipping it up and in, into the basket, and now into the record books. The most points ever in Warrior franchise history as Steph Curry surpasses Wilt Chamberlain.
Cool moment for Steph Curry last night. He has 53 points. The Warriors beat the Nugs. Bigger story with the Nuggets there.
Yeah.
And Steph passes Wilt Chamberlain, all-time leading scorer, as you heard there on NBC Sports Bay Area, as the all-time franchise points leader. Fun fact about this, it took Steph over 700 games. It took Wilt just under 500.
Really?
Steph Curry shoots threes.
It just shows how dominant Wilt was, and some of the stat lines that he put up were just crazy. This was a big one for the standings, though, in the Western Conference. Denver's obviously fighting for positioning. The Warriors are trying to get into that play-in situation. Is a 10 or 11 seed potentially. So a cool moment for Curry, but the Murray injury has huge implications, and as does that Denver loss.
Obviously, we're trying to get a 6 seed. I don't understand the idea of playing. You play 72 games to get in the playoffs, and then maybe you lose two in a row and you're out of the playoffs. So I don't see the point of that. But we just try here to get to the 6th spot, and I think that's our goal right now.
Okay,
maybe even more than 6th spot.
Good news for the Blazers last night. The Mavs sucked. 76ers killed the Mavericks on TV.
Good to have Embiid back.
Joel Embiid, a beast, 36 points, 7 boards. That was Luka Doncic. The Mavericks are in that play-in tournament. He's not a fan of that suggestion to do that. Play 72 games and then what? You play a game and you could be done?
Yeah.
He's not a fan.
I don't blame him either. You should introduce him to the Major League Baseball format, because that's 162 games. You only get one, and then maybe your season's coming to an end. The format's weird. I don't really think there's a desire for it from fans. I understood it last year in the bubble. It was kind of a unique situation. Try it out. Let's see how it works. And for Portland, hey, it worked out great. But I think in the long term for the NBA, I don't really see the point.
Like, they offer me Monday Night Football. I like football, but I ain't going to be one of these jackasses to get on TV and act like he know about football. But my thing is, why do you take the time out of your life to say something mean or just be a hole? Like, it's something that's got nothing to do with you, I might add. But you take the time to troll. I think that's the word they use.
Trolling, yeah, trolling, hating, sure.
I would never be sitting around my house and say, let me get off my fat ass and grab my computer and comment on something that's happening.
There's Charles Barkley on the Brockmire podcast, which is fantastic. He dropped the little bomb. It's a good episode. That Monday Night Football came at him years ago, wanted him to be in the booth. Charles Barkley on Monday Night Football would have been
terrible. Actually, wait, hold on. Terrible.
Boom.
Murray got hit, and this is going to be Golden State ball.
No.
And Murray's down and hurt. Oh, my goodness. Oh, no. Oh, Jamal Murray is in massive pain.
Jason Benetti, Richard Jefferson on ESPN. The doubleheader was Denver Golden State. Steph Curry is the all-time franchise leader in points. The bigger story, Jamal Murray going down with a non-contact knee injury. And couldn't put any weight on the knee. He refused to take the wheelchair. He limped back with some help. And that's a pretty big development. We don't know the significance of the injury, but there are people who are actual, and I'm not just saying this, there are people who legitimately work in sports medicine who on social media, they'll comment and give thoughts on what they see. They always say it could be less, and fingers crossed that that's the case. Almost all of them were saying yesterday that it appears to be an ACL-related injury, the way he went down. Still awaiting to confirm the results of what the MRI says.
Sucks, man. We're a fan of a team that suffered a lot of late-season injuries. You don't wish that on anybody, especially this time of year. You're happy that you got Aaron Gordon now, even more so than maybe you were at the deadline, to try and help, you know, with the loss of Murray. And Michael Porter Jr. is now going to be your key the rest of the year. You're going to have to lean on that second-year kid and say, go become our number two player night in and night out alongside Jokic.
Well, I want to get into that a little bit. Just the Western Conference, the way it kind of is unfolding right now, is there's a lot of movement, and there's only just, the games are dwindling down more and more each and every night. So we'll get to that coming up next. The Morning Crunch brought to you on the Fan by our good friends out at Crunch Fitness. We'll get to the Western Conference playoff picture and what it looks like next on the Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Welcome back in. The analytics people are right and wrong. Yes, we're going to go back and forth on the analytic nerds.
That sounds about like the conversation every time we talk about analytics.
And coming up at 7 a.m., Damian Lillard has the Damian Lillard of baseball.
Spider-Man Jeff. You, me.
I'm not even a fan of this team, but I read an article. It was pretty good, and I want to get to that coming up at the top of the hour. We got the Daily Ticker. We have one stop so far, hoping for two. We'll go to Minnesota. A-Rod bought the T-Wolves.
That was a really random story over the weekend.
Very random. It leads a lot of speculation. I'll say that much.
Sure.
And we'll get to the bottom of that. But let's get through the Western Conference right now in the NBA. I woke up today at 4 a.m. and I looked out my window to see if it had rained at all, just because I'm an Oregonian and I think it's always going to rain. And you know what popped into my head? Today feels huge, doesn't it? I could be way reading into this too much, but doesn't today's Blazer game feel massive? Like, if you don't win today, and it's very possible you don't. Boston just beat Denver full healthy.
Yeah.
It's, you're going to feel whatever it is that Blazer fan, the media, the team, the collective is placing upon this franchise. Today feels like a massive game for that team.
I would say you are right, but also add to that, I feel like I've said that about the last four games, or at least three of the last four. I said that about the Milwaukee game. I said that about the Clipper game.
Yep.
I said that about the Utah game.
I can push back on all three of those. Three teams are clearly better than you.
I felt that way for the Miami game.
And I felt that too for the Miami game of, this could be pretty important, and they got blown out by 20.
They got blown up by every single one of those teams that I just mentioned.
I know. So. And my only counter to that, and it's not even necessarily a counter, but my only add to it, I guess, would be I felt like Miami was a big game. And when you go out there and you crap the bed that way, doesn't it make the next game? Like, after today, I think they have San Antonio next.
I'll pull up the schedule.
It's not that. But if they have San Antonio next, like, that's a team you should be able to beat.
I'm not doing that with anybody. Okay. At this point, I'm not. San Antonio's at least in the playoff mix. You're not playing. This isn't Detroit, man.
Well, true.
San Antonio's a little bit better than that.
I just think today, to me...
Yeah, your next game, your next two are in San Antonio, in Charlotte, before you come back home and you take on the Clippers and the Nuggets next week.
By the way, Charlotte without LaMelo is still a pretty good team.
They're playing good ball right now. your point is valid that Milwaukee, LA, and Utah were all better than what Miami and Boston are, but I still think you wanted to have a better showing in those games first. Prove that you could hang and then win at least one of them. The fact that you got blown out in all three was about as disastrous as it could get, and it's the reason that you go into tonight's game and you say that there's a lot of pressure on them. And I agree with the overall point. If they had beaten Milwaukee and found a way to, say, beat the Clippers and then you lose to Utah and you lose to Miami, you're not quite feeling as panicky going into tonight, because at least they would have had a couple of wins under their belt. They haven't won a game that matters. It feels like in, I don't know, maybe 2 months. It's been forever since they've won a game like this, and Boston's playing good. They're above 500. They're in the playoffs in the East. If you get drilled by another good team, I'm throwing my hands up in the air and expecting another loss on Friday.
Yeah, but Dirt, I think the difference would just be I don't think reasonable Blazer fan went into those three games, Utah, LA, Milwaukee, and expected wins. They hoped for wins. I don't think they expected them. Miami was an expected compete and or win, come close to a win, and you lost. Again, I don't care that it was 9. You lost that game by 20. You waved the white flag when you're down like 18, and we know how that game ended up going. This is another, hey, you should be able to win this game and or come very close, and if you don't compete in this one, boy, the temperature in that one's going to be turned way up. Did you watch much of the Philly-Dallas game?
I saw a chunk of the first half, yeah.
Oh, okay. So did you – you probably didn't see the second half. Van Gundy and Jackson – they were talking about the playoff matchups in the West, and they brought Portland up. And Van Gundy's always kind of like pro-coach. You know, the narratives come out about coaches. He pushes back because he's experienced what that narrative is. He said that Portland, Jackson thinks they're extremely dangerous. And I feel like everybody says that because of Dame.
Sure.
And versus like actually watching all their games. Van Gundy seems to not be as concerned because they're getting their guys back. And the tough thing that's been with them is their rotation hasn't been locked up because of injury and because of the lack of practice time. And I knew that their practices had been cut a little bit, but I guess I didn't think about that more. Again, Van Gundy's pro coach, so he's going to be a pro stats in this argument, but it was just something to think about.
Yeah, I mean, look, Nurkic and CJ have been back for a while. Norman Powell's a newer addition, so I get that takes time to kind of feel your way into the rotation. But Covington's had all year now. Derek Jones Jr. has had all year now. So I bought that argument a little bit more early on in the season because you had two new guys in the starting lineup, and then you had two guys go down, what, a week and a half into the season with no practice time. So I bought that a little bit more in the first 3 or 4 weeks. But by the time you get to now, by the time you're, 20 games left or whatever it is in the regular season, you should have most of that stuff figured out.
So the West right now is Utah, Phoenix, Clippers, Nuggets, Lakers, Blazers, Mavs, Grizzlies with the Spurs and the Warriors as the 9 and 10. So they'd play in tournament would be Dallas versus Memphis, San Antonio versus Golden State to figure out the playoff picture there. Denver suffers a Jamal Murray injury. I am hoping that he is okay, that it was maybe a tweak, that he'll be out maybe 2 weeks and come back. A lot of people suggested it had something to do with the ACL, fingers crossed, because I want to see him come back. I think Denver's a fun team to watch. That being said, playoff picture in the West right now.
The tough part is for Portland.
It doesn't just have to be Portland, though.
No, the most depressing thing for me is that there's a lot of stuff that's kind of falling in for you right now. The Lakers, we know that they were going to struggle, and they're 500 in the last 10 games. They're all the way down in the 5 seed now. Denver loses Murray, their second best player, and maybe Michael Porter Jr. is enough to overcome that, at least in the regular season. Well, I have my questions about the playoffs without Murray, but Denver, the team ahead of you who you're trying to chase down, just suffered a catastrophic injury. Dallas, a team that I was fearful a couple of days ago that was on your heels and going to catch you, and they still might, but they've lost back-to-back games now. Didn't look very good yesterday against Philly, so you're still 2 games clear of them. Like, a lot of these things around Portland are shaking out. Like, if I would have told you 3 weeks ago that Murray goes down, the Lakers have injuries, Dallas isn't, capitalizing on their chances, you would have felt great. It's just coinciding with the time that Portland can't win a game that matters.
Yeah, you're in a rut,
right?
Too.
So you're right there with all of them. And the tough part is, look at Denver's remaining schedule and look at Portland's remaining schedule. Denver's schedule is very easy. Now, Portland's going to have 2 cracks at them. So, you know, maybe if it's a 2-game difference in the standings, you have the chance to beat them twice. But Portland's schedule is far more difficult than some of these other teams remaining. And the fact that they can't beat teams above 500, that should leave you concerned.
I think Denver would be okay, though, because they have what probably is the league MVP in Jokic right now. Aaron Gordon and Porter can pick up the shooting, factor there if Murray's going to be out for an extended period, if not the whole season. I don't know about the playoff chances. I think you need a Jamal Murray come that time.
Remember how good he was in the postseason last year, too.
Well, imagine how much you're helping LeBron and AD when they come back from injury in round one if it stays at the 4 or 5 with the Lakers. Right. Even with Jokic, you'd imagine that's something the Lakers would take. But unfortunate news for the Nuggets last night, Jamal Murray. And it happened with 50 seconds left, and they were down 7.
Brutal, man.
Just a non-contact injury, tweaked it. All right, coming up next, the nerds are right, and the non-nerds
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Wrong. That's next on The Fan. All right, welcome back in. Damian Lillard may have this in common with a Major League Baseball player. Get to that coming up at 7. Daily Ticker, we still have the mail sack at 8:15 today, so get those mail sack questions in. Any and all questions are welcome at The Fan text line. I'll start here. The Sloan Analytical Conference, the MIT Sloan Alpha Award.
The Sloan Alpha Award.
For Best Sports Transaction of the Year.
This is in all sports.
Yes.
Okay.
Can you guess what last year's was? Who the winner of last year's was?
Last year's sports world is such a blur. I'm trying to think who was a big...
It's not going to be an obvious one.
Okay, then I'm probably not going to guess
it. You will not guess it.
Okay.
Last year, the Las Vegas Raiders won the award for their Khalil Mack trade for 3 first-round draft picks.
Okay, I mean, they seemingly hit on all
2
first-round
draft picks.
Yeah, they seemingly hit on those guys, so Jacobs is a good back. Yeah, all right. I guess I'll take that.
I
don't know if I would name that the trade of the year or the acquisition of the
transaction of the year. That's the thing. The wording of this is interesting. Transaction. So it's kind of a vague, open-ended term. It's either free agency or trading, I think, in most people's scenarios. Well, they named the transaction of the year to the Arizona Cardinals for their DeAndre Hopkins trade.
It was a great trade, man. They totally fleeced the Texans. Nobody will disagree with that.
No, there was no first-round picks given up, and they got 3 games better than the year prior.
Yeah.
And his stats, you can't really argue what his production was. He had an insane year last year. His stats were 115 catches, 1,400 receiving yards, 6 touchdowns, including that Hail Mary touchdown,
mm-hmm.
and a catch percentage of 71.9. This led many people to go, if the word transaction and not trade is used, doesn't Tom Brady fall into that category, and how is that not the obvious winner?
You would think, right? The guy, look, I can't stand Tom Brady. I'm tired of him. I've called him football herpes. He just won't go away, and I never want to see him play in a Super Bowl again, but... I can't deny the fact that he went to Tampa Bay, and in his first year out of New England, he won a Super Bowl. So Arizona didn't make the playoffs. Tampa Bay won the Super Bowl. There's a bit of a difference there. As good as I think Hopkins is and as great of a trade as that was for Arizona, I love getting a young quarterback a weapon of that level and basically not giving up anything to go make that happen. It was an ideal scenario, but Tom Brady had the bigger impact on his new destination. It's not DeAndre Hopkins' fault. If DeAndre Hopkins maybe had a better quarterback or a better head coach, maybe Arizona goes on a deeper playoff run. And I still think Kyler Murray can turn into that. But in year 2, he's not quite there. Brady won the damn Super Bowl. That's the transaction of the year.
So the analytics crowd names DeAndre Hopkins of the Cardinals, who didn't go to the playoffs, the best transaction, which led many to go to what you're saying. What about Tom Brady? All right, maybe not the best obvious choice there, analytics. But... analytics does play a factor in NFL play.
That it does.
In determining or suggesting when you should do certain things. Ron Rivera was on the Rich Eisen radio show and was asked about using analytics in situations like going for 2. And this is what a current NFL coach had to say.
Because I've had situations where when we've gone for it with the analytics and it didn't happen out, and I've been told, hey, that's okay. You did what the analytics said. And to me, I struggle with that because if I did what analytics said and it says 9 times out of 10 you're going to complete it, there's that 1 time out of 10 you don't. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
And so how do you know if you're going to be that 1 time out of 10 that doesn't that isn't successful. You know what I'm saying? I mean, if there is no guarantee, you can tell me all you want. Oh, that it's 99%. Hey, that's good. Yeah, but what if you're that 1%? What if that one time it doesn't work? Nobody talks about that until it happens.
I love Ron Rivera, wow. But you got to be kidding me, man.
Wow.
That's quite literally the definition of analytics. I mean, it's just playing odds. It's playing statistics and saying that you have an increased chance of X happening if you do Y.
Do you know where Washington ranked in going for two last year?
I would guess probably towards the back end of the league.
26th. Yeah. 26. Nine out of 10 times, and you're still not comfortable because of the one?
What about the one, man?
Ron, if you played the lottery and won 9 out of 10 times, would you not play in case you didn't win that one time?
You're going to keep playing. I'm going to think about the 9, not the 1. The whole point is putting yourself in better situations based on odds and advantages. And I push back from time to time on analytics. I think sometimes in certain sports, I don't necessarily quite feel this way about the NFL, more so a baseball and basketball thing to me that I think analytics at times can go too far. But when you have these kind of coaches, it amazes me that this is still your perspective and that you haven't had somebody in-house that has been hired to explain to you exactly why you're doing what you're doing and the numbers behind it and why it all makes sense. And if you think Ron Rivera's alone, let's just refresh our memories from the NFL playoffs last year. How many terrible decisions were made? Remember Vrabel punting late in that playoff game against Baltimore? Remember Mike Tomlin down by like 20 points punting in the third quarter from midfield? Like little decisions like that that just absolutely make no sense. And I don't know if that directly cost them the victory in the postseason, but it certainly helped seal their fate. So there's a lot of coaches out there that still feel this way. And it's just amazing that general managers and owners and presidents haven't hired somebody to come in and not run the day-to-day as an analytical mind, but just be a sounding board to explain this is why you're doing what you're doing.
Well, I think most teams have it. It's just a matter of
not getting through because Ron Rivera doesn't understand analytics.
Well, yeah, but I mean, to be fair for Ron, and I'm going to give my thought, like San Francisco was actually worse percentage wise of going for two. They're one of the better run, coached. A lot of people, respect Kyle Shanahan. Tampa Bay won the Super Bowl. They went less times.
And I don't view going for two as the only analytical thing.
I'm just saying.
One example. I view it more so being aggressive on play calling in certain situations, sure. Going for it on fourth down.
But his example in that answer is awful. And I say this as a big Ron Rivera fan. He's clearly a good coach. That's one of the worst answers you're ever going to get from a current head coach on an analytically based question. Is it not?
You're playing the odds. That's the whole point. You're not going to be. Nothing is a certainty in life.
They tell you 9 out of 10 times it'll work. What about that one time? Nobody cares about the one time. If it's 9 out of 10, you go for it every time.
I love Ron Rivera, and he is an incredibly inspirational story for what he's been through the last year. But that was a bad answer on analytics.
All right, loaded second hour. A lot to get to, and we're going to start it with Damian Lillard and this baseball player seem to have a lot in common. That's next. Hour 2, Dirt and Sprague on the Fan.